It's difficult to imagine this gospel scene. The world has changed dramatically in 2,000 years. We don't often see exorcisms anymore, and we certainly don't see them on the streets. In the time of Jesus, exorcisms were not fodder for sensationalist journalism or lowbrow movies. They were an ordinary part of life. Demons were seen as the root of bad luck, disease, and psychological disturbance. Thus, exorcists were everywhere, even in public. Walking down the streets of the ancient world, you would see people visiting the corner exorcist and having prayers said over them. Now, some of these exorcists were just hucksters, exploiting the naivete of the masses and stealing their money. Others were people of genuine faith who sought to bring God's grace and healing into a deeply broken world. As the apostles were walking around one day, they came across this scene and they were scandalized. They had heard an unknown person using the name of Jesus to cast out demons and to heal. They tried to stop him. This stranger was not one of the followers of Jesus, so he could not know who Jesus really was. He didn't have the knowledge or the theology to use the sacred name. And they went to Jesus, and they bragged about what they had done. They had protected him and his reputation from imposters. But Jesus rebuked the apostles. He said, "Leave these people alone, for at least they speak well of me." The same Jesus who at times had seemed so concerned that people recognize him as the Messiah and the Son of God was now demanding a radical tolerance towards outsiders. Whoever is not against him is with him. The criteria for being with or against Jesus is not the fullness of belief and theological erudition. It is how his name is treated. Those who use the name of Jesus as a blessing will be blessed because by their actions they implicitly recognize him as the source of goodness. Those who use his name as a curse, however, will be cursed because they attribute to him evil and so cut themselves off from his goodness. Here, in this place, we often invoke the name of Jesus. We use his name to turn ordinary water into the wellspring of eternal life, which remits original sin and unites us to a new and mystical body. We call upon his name to transform bread and wine into divine and life-sustaining food, into God himself. We use his name to forgive sins in confession, to permanently bond a couple together in marriage, and to heal and comfort the sick and the dying. In this place, the name of Jesus is a blessing. But what is his name in our hearts and in our homes? When we stub our toe, do we yell out, "Jesus Christ," cursing the table leg, the situation, and ultimately, God himself? Do we toss about his name casually and irreverently to pepper our language and bemoan our every minor inconvenience? Have we made his name a curse? We may argue that this pattern of speech is just force of habit and culture, but Jesus tells us that our words and actions are rooted in our hearts. Whoever uses the name as a blessing believes he is a blessing, and whoever uses it as a curse thinks he is a curse and a burden. Jesus offers us limitless love and a new way of life filled with mercy. The least we can do is speak well of him, not only here, but at home and before every person we meet.